Should we be angry about false doctrine? That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm thrilled that you've decided to join us today for this episode because we are in a series of question and answers. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us a message to our email, which is radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Are you ready for some grace? My name is Sean Lazar, and this is Grace in Focus.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilk.
Well, we want to approach the Bible from a grace perspective, not to impose anything on the Bible. I mean, all of the New Testament, and I think the life of Jesus really emphasizes the grace of God in salvation. But you're not going to get that message from a lot of preachers that you might hear on the radio.
That's true.
In fact, I got a question here from Wesley. And it's so funny because...
Is that John?
No, this is a
different
Wesley.
Okay.
Just this past week, I was in Hamilton, Ontario, taking a class at McMaster Divinity College. I got out of the airplane, went to get my rental, started driving towards Hamilton. And you don't want to ever drive in Toronto, Bob, by the way. You never, ever,
want to
drive
in Toronto.
Driving in Toronto? It's 24 hours of 8-lane traffic. Any time of the day or night, there is traffic. But anyways, I turn on the radio. There's like, I don't know what the first station was, but I just skip to the next one. And boom, guess who appears on the radio?
Who?
John MacArthur preaching.
You randomly fall on John MacArthur.
And he starts off this sermon. You know, he's a good speaker and everything. But as soon as he starts teaching, it's all... I mean, I don't understand why people who listen to John MacArthur don't see that this is salvation by works. But as it happens... I got an email about this very same experience, and this is from Wesley, and he says, last night, while listening to Christian radio, a sermon by John MacArthur came on, and his topic initially was assurance of salvation, addressing the question, are believers eternally secure? In other words, does he believe in once saved, always saved? The sermon started out quite well, as he pointed out, from where he was actually going by quoting verses that establish eternal security. So that's good. You know, we believe in eternal security.
Right, absolutely.
And then he goes on to say that after stating that believers were eternally secure, he went on and on about the fact that anyone who is truly saved would certainly persevere until the end. And that was quite upsetting, Wesley says, because obviously if you're only theoretically eternally secure, but you're only actually eternally secure if you're persevering faith and good works until the end of your life, no one can really have the assurance of eternal security.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of like this theoretical idea that, yeah, someone who is eternally secure is eternally secure, but I don't know if that's me and I'm not going to know until I die. So here is five questions he has for us. And the first one is, do you ever get angry when you hear messages like this, or is anger ever an appropriate response?
Okay, answer to question one, I would say is yes. And my anger is basically the type of anger Paul had in Galatians 1, 6 through 9. These people are proclaiming a false gospel.
Right.
And Paul was angry with Barnabas and with Peter when they withdrew from the Gentiles because he said they weren't being straightforward about the truth of the gospel. So once anyone is, in essence, denying justification by faith alone, yes, I'm angry about that. Not that I'm angry personally with John MacArthur. I've met him before. I basically like him. I mean, I don't know him very well, but I like him. But as far as what he's teaching... I'm angry about what he's teaching because it's a false message. I mean, I know he's well-intentioned, but still, it's a false message.
Right. It's very upsetting, and it should make you angry, but angry in a righteous way, not like a go start hitting the walls type way.
Exactly. We're concerned that people are being misled, and you see that in Paul in Galatians. The Lord Jesus was constantly battling with legalists. In his ministry, the right. Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they right. were all very legalistic.
Question two, what is the proper way to confront someone who is poisoning the doctrinal well like this?
Well, I would say that it is important that we avoid being needlessly confrontational.
Yeah.
If the person is totally closed... and the person is not open whatsoever, then I probably would not spend much time discussing these issues with them, because these people know the counterarguments, and these people are closed off to it, and it's likely to be very unproductive. It's like throwing your pearls before swine.
Yeah.
So why waste the time? On the other hand, if you're talking about someone who listens to one of these preachers but is themselves not well-versed in theology, they just know how to regurgitate it back.
Right.
Well, then I think the way to approach them would be to ask some good questions.
Mm-hmm.
Say, okay, well, that's interesting. Now, why is it that when Paul was asked, what must I do to be saved? I mean, why did he say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved? Why didn't he say, commit your life and follow, promise to serve and persevere? Why did he just say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or why did Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, say, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life?
Right.
I mean, those things sound like it's just a matter of believing. Isn't that a bit confusing? Why wouldn't the Lord and his apostles be clearer? If it's about commitment and obedience and perseverance, why don't we see that? And let the person talk to you, and they may come back with some of the standard arguments they've heard from these preachers.
Yeah.
But the truth is, you can get them to thinking. And I think one thing I've done before, I had a debate, and I told the congregation and the pastor I was debating, I said, my concern here isn't academic. I'm concerned for the salvation of every one of you. I know you're concerned about my salvation, and you think I need to believe, obey, confess, repent, and be baptized so I can make it to heaven. But the truth is, I'm absolutely convinced you're wrong. The message you believe is work salvation is not going to ever get you into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so my concern is that you understand that it's just a matter of believing in Jesus plus nothing.
Right.
And I'm concerned about your eternal destiny. And they were kind of shocked.
Yeah.
They were like, here's somebody that's concerned about us.
Right.
My point was, it's not about how good you are.
Right.
Because we're all sinners.
Right.
And it's about believing. And so I think that's one way you could reach them, is just to say, look, I care about you. And that's why I'm talking about this. I'm not trying to win an argument.
Yeah.
I don't care about winning an argument. I just care about you.
You can spend all day arguing with people who aren't open, who just want to fight.
Right.
And that could take up all your time, and it doesn't get you. So far as I can tell, it doesn't get you anywhere. But then there are all kinds of people who are genuinely open, who are genuinely, they've heard this, they've internalized it, and it worries them. And they realize, this is leading me mentally and emotionally into a place that is not good. And they want to hear the truth. They want to hear grace. I would say look out for those people. Don't spend your time rebuking the false teachers. You only have a limited amount of time. Find those people who are genuinely open. And you can figure out if they're open by asking some of those questions that Bob just mentioned before. Yeah, why would Paul say this? Why would Jesus say that? And I would definitely use the Word of God, because the Word of God is what's transformative, not your cleverness, not your ability to argue. It's really the promises of Jesus that will convince someone.
And you raise a good point. The questioner, Wesley, was talking about a message that John MacArthur gave on assurance.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you could do with such a person is say, look, are you absolutely sure that you're going to spend eternity with the Lord? And the person's almost surely, if they believe in Lordship salvation, say, no, I'm confident, but, you know, how could I be sure? I don't know if I'm going to persevere.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say they're sure, then say, what happens if you don't persevere? And I would just get down to the fact that the reason I'm concerned about you is what you believe here can't give you certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And certainty is vital to living a God-honoring life.
Right. Question three, and this, well, let's just answer this quickly.
Yeah.
Is there any personal history between John MacArthur and GES?
A little bit. Years ago, I went to the Shepherd's Conference, and I contacted the ministry and tried to set up a meeting with John MacArthur and some of his faculty from the Master's Seminary. And I was told that probably wasn't the best idea. John MacArthur didn't really want to do that, but he did recommend I talk to Phil Johnson, who's his right-hand man, and I went and spent about 3 or 4 hours talking to Phil, and we had a good conversation and good interaction. And I did meet John MacArthur on that occasion. Mm-hmm. I also met him at the Shepherd's Conference, and I also met him in 1989 at the Evangelical Theological Society
right.
Conference when I got a chance to ask him some questions. So there's a little bit of history, but I really don't know him
yeah.
hardly at all.
You guys didn't go to school. He was more no. a contemporary with Zane Hodges,
right.
age-wise.
He's 80 this year, and I'm 68 this year, so he's 12 years older than I am.
Yeah, like when he published The Gospel According to Jesus, Zane Hodges' book, Absolutely Free, which you can get at our store, faithloan.org, was kind of a counterpoint to that book.
Right.
And so they had a little, but I don't think that they were really friends or had a relationship or were in.
There was a scheduled discussion between yeah. Zane and John MacArthur, and then for a while they were going to include Earl Rodmacher on the one side and maybe Mike Corus and then some of MacArthur's friends on the other side, but it ended up and fell apart
yeah.
because John MacArthur didn't feel it would be productive.
Fourth question, how frequently are you attacked by people who reject the free grace position in one way or another? What time is it?
Yeah.
I would every say hour of every day.
A lot. Yeah, a lot. So that one.
But that's, you know, it's not like we can, it can be discouraging, but it's not like threats or anything like that. It's more, you know, just
right.
theological disagreement. Although some people kind of pray for our destruction.
Yeah, that's disconcerting.
It is disconcerting. Last questions. Do teachers and leaders from other doctrinal camps seem open to the GES free grace message?
Occasionally we do find such people. We hear reports of people who used to be in the other camp. We have a young man who's in his mid-30s, I guess, who was Lordship Salvation through Bible college and became a Southern Baptist pastor and was Lordship, and then later came in contact with some of the writings of Zane Hodges and GES, and now is strongly in the grace camp.
Right.
And he even speaks at our conferences.
Yeah, I mean,
and there are people like that.
Yeah, it happens in Baptist churches, E-Free, Bible churches, some Plymouth Brethren. You know, it's surprising where people come from. I've met Lutherans, and I've met Anglicans, and I've met all kinds of people who are interested in grace. And we're really one of the only people who are really talking about faith alone all the way down, like really serious about it.
Right.
Well, that's all the time that we have now. Thank you very much for your five questions, Wesley. If you want to ask us a question, be sure to send it to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the lesson we get from Jesus' parable of the rich fool, so don't miss that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.